is the Disaster Recovery Hour. Here's your host, Chris Plunkett.
Hey, good afternoon. It is the Disaster Recovery Hour. This is a first for me. I'm down in Orlando calling in live. We're down here at the Spring World Conference for Disaster Recovery Journal, who was invited down by Bob Arnold, who was the CEO of Disaster Recovery Journal. And it is a business consortium of numerous business continuity and disaster recovery businesses. And we're real excited. I'm actually stepped down at the conference halls and get a little quiet time. I'll get into that in a couple minutes. We got tons of interviews today from the floor, all live, kind of upbeat, kind of fun. It was very cool doing it. We need to get over to Dave so we can edit in case we had some minute issues. But I want to thank my guests from last week. The Ready Mask is John A. Schwind and also Thomas Orfanos. Ready Mask, you guys, you saw those links on the website. Excuse me. There was a fantastic product, and that was preceded or by with Billy Farron, who's a New Jersey State Police trooper, and with No Games gear and the bug ballistic undergarment gear, and that was, you know, the last week's show was, I mean, it was product driven, but you know, when you have the guys in the studio with the products and you see how jacked up they are, it was a really great show, and I'm glad that the guys were able to come in and spend some time and talk about the products, because you know, the world of disasters, preparedness, it's the world we live in, and hence the reason I'm down here to get some fresh perspectives on business continuity and also the insurance end of what I do for a living, which is fires and floods. A little out of breath because it's a whirlwind of people, and there's 3,000 attendees down here with booths. You got SunGuard, you got Coop, you got some major influential business continuity and disaster. Disaster recovery people and businesses. I don't know. I think we're able to go right to that first interview. Dave, I think we should probably, you know, set that up, and then listen, guys. You'll hear some background. I'm going to sign off, but these interviews were done earlier this morning, and I think you're really going to enjoy it. Very upbeat, and got Bob Arnold. I mean, you know, I'm not even say the names. You know the same faces, and we'll rock and roll from there. And tune it up, and I'll talk to you guys later.
We are down here in Orlando, inside Disney. One of my first guests today is George Sampatero.
Sampatero.
I know I said that wrong, right? So PC World Products. George, my booth is across from George's in this grand facility here. And the graphics there are showing a hurricane pattern track, and obviously that's what I do for a living. I do property damage. So I thought it'd be interesting to have George on and tell me what he does, because obviously he's affiliated with numerous corporations of asking their risk managers are asking him for weather-related property damage that could occur. And so, George, before I stumble anymore, because this is the first time I ever had a show for me, why don't you roll with that? I'll pass you the baton.
Okay. Well, the name is PC Weather Products. I think you said World Products.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. It's PC Weather Products, and we've been in business for about nearly 20 years. And what we do is specialize in hurricanes. I like to say, like the old Gerber's commercial, that babies are our business, our only business. Well, hurricanes are our business, our only business. And we provide information in great detail on how a hurricane is going to impact a customer, whether they have one location or they have 50,000 locations. And we do it through very detailed graphics, not only of the storm and what it looks like and satellite imagery, but also storm surge and inundation maps that will show how much flooding could occur along the coastline from storm surge.
Right.
And a very detailed reports, especially wind type reports, that will show the location and how they're going to be impacted, the maximum level of winds, the timing of their winds, when it's the first, for example, storm force wind would occur and the last storm force wind, so they can actually make decisions for each of their locations and what they're going to do. So, for example, a customer like Disney might use that information to determine if they're going to open up the theme park or not, where another customer, let's say like a Walmart or somebody, has many locations, they could decide if they're going to send supplies or take actions on certain number of their stores. So it's really designed for any type and size customer, and we have a lot of different types of customers across a lot of different industry sectors, both government and private sectors.
And one of the attractive parts when I saw, besides the graphics for your booth, is, you know, I come from the insurance world. Disaster recovery is about preparing people for natural disasters, and nowadays, after post 9/11, with also terroristic events. Now, the insurance world, they're high on keeping losses and loss debt ratio and to a minimum, or the best they can. So a product like yours is definitely in need, especially in the last 6-7 years. They're monsters now. They're no longer little tropical storms. Mm-hmm. I think that you could probably tell me better, that the government, their scale, miles per hour, will dictate if it's a certain type of storm where they can classify it. What are those guidelines or yardsticks, and amplify that?
The Saffir-Simpson scale has been a scale that they've used for many years now, and that's the one that goes from category 1 through 5, where category 5 storms obviously are the worst. And the storm intensities in the 2004 and 2005 years were well way off the charts. We had enough storms, and if you weight it by intensity, that would be the equivalent of the prior 20 years of hurricanes occurred in those 2 years.
Wow.
And since then, it's backed off a bit back to normal. And everyone thinks we're having quiet seasons, where we're probably fairly normal seasons. And the 2004 and 5 seasons were the big exception.
Mm-hmm.
But the Saffir-Simpson scale was developed back, in the 60s, I think, and started utilizing it in the 70s.
Now, do you see a need for reevaluating that scale?
No, they've done some adjustments to it, to where they used to describe storm surge flooding based on the Saffir-Simpson scale.
Mm-hmm.
And that's become less of a correlation between the Saffir-Simpson scale and the absolute storm surge flooding. So they've removed all the descriptions from the Saffir-Simpson scales about storm surge flooding. That's handled separately by separate products that the Weather Service and the Hurricane Center put out. But no longer is it. The Saffir-Simpson scale is basically just a wind scale now.
Okay.
Which is the one change they did make in the last year or two.
Yeah. If you tuned in, we're down here in Orlando, Disaster Recovery Journal Spring Conference. It's I think they have it every year down here, don't they? Or has it moved around the country?
You know,
it's my first time.
I believe. Well, this is the first time.
No, it isn't. Cool,
also,
we're newbies.
I did find out that this is held here, I think, every.
Yeah.
The spring one is here every year,
and okay.
Then they have a fall one out in San Diego, I believe.
Obviously, what I do for a living is, you know, fires and floods, and being down here for the 4 hurricanes a couple of years ago, 05, 04, and then you had Katrina. Your services are in high demand. I mean, everybody's always looking to point it at, you know, the weatherman but you're more of a business continuity for businesses, but also you said you have some contact and relationships in the government. The government is now, from my experience, again, this is post 9/11 experiences, the public and the private sector are starting to merge a little better. And there's experts like that out in the field like yourself that government doesn't possess.
Right. And there's a close relationship in this arena between government and private sector. However, you had mentioned insurance companies. And when we first started doing this, most of our customer base was government, emergency managers, county primarily.
The OEM guys?
Yeah, and insurance companies.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, over the years, again, we're talking about 18, 19 years, it's progressed to where it's expanded to different industries. And so our balance is better between private sector and government now. But we still have a lot of government customers. And the National Hurricane Conference, which is the next one I'm going to here, has more government folks than private industry. And this one is a little bit different, where it's more private industry here.
Right.
Than government. So it's a good set of conferences to go to.
Well, the science has gotten better, a.k.a. the technology, because the property losses are large. I mean, this past year was the most money in property losses in the history of losses.
Really?
Insurance companies, they want to minimize that, too, if they can. a product like yours, and you said, like I said, Gerber is just dealing with babies. You just deal with hurricanes, and we're already in the season begins in June, ends in late November. And I don't know. It's just preparedness. The government wants our citizens to be prepared, and this is one of those tools.
Right. And, you know, the government has their tools they use for doing their job as far as evacuating people and making those decisions. And we like to think that our tool is used by both government and private sector to make the decisions related to government and business.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're going to make decisions on closing stores, whether it's a retail store or that they want to get their employees out of the way, they can use our tools to help make those decisions intelligently. And not just looking at a pretty map with a storm on it on the Weather Channel.
Right. I mean, Jim Santori, I think that's his guy's name. He's a good guy. We like him.
Cantori.
As
sure
I said, Santori. don't come after me. Hey, I'm a
These
little
are all bit, Italians.
So. Yeah, well, that's my neck of the woods up in Jersey. George, I'm glad. Glad I got a couple minutes from you. I know you have a 5 o'clock.
Right.
It is now 25 of, and with your cohort over there, John, and we can see your screen from here, so you said you wouldn't. If you had a little of a flub, you can take a look at your screen and remind you of what you did.
If we just turn the microphone around, you could maybe see the screen.
Yeah. George, thanks a lot for taking a couple minutes.
Okay.
All right. Take care of yourself.
Thank you.
Thanks,
sir. All right. If
you missed part of today's program or you want to hear the show again, you can do so with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast. Just go to www.drhradio.net, enter your email address, and the show will be delivered to your inbox. Keep you and your family safe by getting information on being prepared with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast, available at drhradio.net. When disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need action fast. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP will find the visible and hidden damage caused by a fire or flood. With quick response and correctly applied damage mitigation protocols, ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP can save you valuable time and money and get you back in the game of life. Anytime disaster strikes, quick, focused action is what can save your property. CPP's professional staff is on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. To reach ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP anytime, visit them on the web at www.cppems.com. That's cppems.com, cppems.com. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP, servicing the New York metro and tri-state area.
Do you know that there are some emergency shelters that have no emergency backup generators? You can be prepared and have your own emergency generator for your home and business. Hi, I'm Dan O'Brien from Academy Electrical Contractors Incorporated, a full-service electrical contractor servicing the tri-state area since 1981. Our specialty is generators. We give you a complete turnkey installation, service your existing generator, rent you the temporary machine for that planned shutdown or that unexpected power failure. Academy Electrical Contractors can install a generator to protect your family and business from a power grid failure. Power your heating and air conditioning system, keep your refrigerator and freezer running, power your well pump, or power your sump pump. Visit us on the web at academyelectrical.com. That's academyelectrical.com. Or give me a call at 877-SPARKIES. That's 877-772-7597. Academy Electrical Contractors, generating satisfaction 24/7 since 1981.
In the early hours after the tsunami, it was ham radio that was on the air, saving lives. When Florida was ripped by hurricanes, the hams were there. In the critical moments after the attack of 9/11, it was the hams who coordinated emergency messages. When disasters strike, the hams are ready. Ham radio works when other communications don't. To learn how you can become a ham radio operator, call the ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio, at 1-800-326-3942.
We We got several people looking at me like I'm strange, but that's all right. My guest in the chair now is Bob Arnold, who is the president and CEO of Disaster Recovery Journal. And down here in Orlando is the Disaster Recovery Journal's spring conference once a year down here. Every year in Orlando, Bob?
It is.
I had to look at your name, B.O.B. I'm getting a little spooked because it's like a live thing, and I've never done it like this before. But Spring World is a business continuity, a DR, disaster recovery. Bob's been in the business for 20-some-odd years. He's a lineage or a pedigree, as I say, in the police department, if you have family members in the police department. But I mean, there's major sponsors here, Fortune 500 companies. Let's go from the inception, when the show became its first, and the progressive, and the momentum, and go from there. Talk to me about
Certainly.
It.
Certainly. Well, you know, first appreciate you being down here at the show and everything, and certainly the exposure. The exposure we'll get here from your viewers on DRJ, the inception. Basically, how we started. My father started in the IT realm back in the early 70s, and worked at several large IT vendors as a database programmer. In mid 80s, he designed the first hot site in the state of Missouri. A data backup center in Fenton, Missouri. It didn't do so well, of course, in the mid 80s. Still was pretty immature at that point, and decided to start the magazine. And in 87, we started and published our first issue out to about 3,000 subscribers. In 1989, we started our very first conference of this sort in Atlanta, Georgia. We had about 180 attendees in total at the show. From there, we moved on to the spring show in Palm Springs every year in the spring. And we had about 200 or so at the second show, and continued there. So we had a spring conference every year in March, and a fall show every year in September.
You know, with our collaboration with ACP, Association Contingency Planners, you're aware of those guys. I'm a
Very
member.
Much so.
You know them just a little bit, right? Is one of the common themes with my guests from this show is going to be, as long as yourself and with passes, is always the passion for, you know, being prepared, keeping people in business, or keeping people in their homes, or trying to do our best. For me, I'm a boots on the ground guy, but I see, you know, we got Fortune 500 companies here. We can name a few, with Oracle and IBM. If you don't mind, you'll be naming some also. It used to be an IT-driven business, but it's morphed into other areas now.
Certainly, and that's really where it all started, was the DR realm, is making sure up back in the 80s, of course, the mainframes, and it evolved further out into the networks, now the emails. But you also you quickly realize that without the personnel, without the staff, now even community preparedness and resiliency,
right,
really your organization is not going to be any better prepared for any sort of business interruption, even if the servers can pop up in 5 minutes. So if you're, you know, in regards to even like the pandemic planning, if the projections were correct, you'd lose 40-50% of your staff not coming in. What happens to your organization then? So that's really what we try and address here, is covering all risks that your organization could possibly face in any sort of aspect, and mitigating those risks. And
right,
whether it be the IT realm, the personnel realm, and like I said, the big push is community resiliency, reaching out to even further out than just your own organization, ensuring your community's and is prepared for any sort of interruption. So it's very important for your organization to reach out to your local, your federal authorities, and ensure you have those relationships in place. So at time of crisis, you know, you have a set game plan to sort of attack that you know, issue that's addressing your organization. So
we're down here broadcasting live at Disaster Recovery Journal's Spring World then in Orlando. I'm with the president, and I can say president, can I? Sure can.
You can.
I'm hanging out with the president. I can tell it to my wife. I think she might be she might like me, let me in the house. But
it sounds much more impressive than it is, trust me.
you know, we talked about, or just talked about the IT, but now the resiliency of employees. You know, it's a funny thing. I was watching 60 Minutes last night, and Chrysler was on the balls of its feet again, and the government bailed them out, and the guy came in, took them over with Fiat, so on and so forth. I mean, if you saw it, it was a good show. But, you know, people go to work every day hoping and depending on their leaders to have plans in place. And it's really kind of crazy in the world that we live in that, you know, major capitalist companies are really, you know, some of them treat the DR and the BC as if, you know, it's a redheaded stepchild, and they don't put a whole lot of validity into it.
Certainly, and that's one of the big risks. It's not just a project. It's a plan. It's not something you just check off, and as soon as the auditors give you a check mark, you move on and put it on the shelf and hope you never use it. It has to be something inbred and even, you know, really dug into the culture of your organization from the ground up and continually updated, because the risks are continually changing.
Right.
You know, 10 years ago, we were not worried about the email continuity. You basically upload, you know, I mean, ensuring you have email continuity at all time, because again, we're so dependent on technology nowadays, and even farther out, the risks are consistently changing and becoming even more important, because again, like our general session said to speaker or today, you know, it took how many years for the man to create a wheel.
Right.
And all of a sudden, how many from, you know, so the technology is advancing so rapidly, population's growing so quickly, but again, the risks that every one of us have to face day to day are increasing, and you see it in just the natural disasters we're facing. Last year was one of the most costly on record,
yep.
And for us not to be prepared, even if a tornado's not typical one of your risks, it seems to be in today's world. So
right.
You have to be prepared for anything.
Well, you know, we had George from PC Weather, and you know, the storms are different. They're larger. And for me, listen, I make a living off of those storms. But do I want to see devastation? I definitely don't want to see devastation. A hot water heater breaking, a small kitchen fire. Generally those people are prepared. But in business, people forget that they need to go to work every day and pay their bills. So to have their manager, you know, they might ride them a little bit about having a plan in place, but it's really a mindset. And if you don't practice, I always go back to Israel. You know, those citizens are prepared because they're living in such a very tumultuous part of the world. We're living in that kind of world because now we do have our human threat of terrorists, but now we have a lot more storms.
Right. And me being from Missouri, I'm from Tornado Alley there in Joplin, right down the street from us. I mean, the heartache that goes out and seeing the pictures and the individuals and the families that went through the devastation and continue to today, to, you know, the cleanup efforts down there. And that, again, goes back to that community resilience idea.
Mm-hmm.
Is, you know, if your community is more resilient, again, you... In business, you have a job to go to tomorrow. If your organization and your community as a whole is more prepared for sort of those different disasters that may pop up.
I like the school superintendent from Joplin. He was speaking up in New York. It was a big OEM conference at Javits Center, and you know, the school was whacked out, but yet they had some damaged space. I think it was a mall or something that, or a warehouse. And you know, he took it upon himself. He didn't wait around. He made it happen, and that he wanted that school to be open by a certain date in September, and he made it happen. That's a guy who got it. He gets it. You know, he's not waiting around for, you know, big mommy and daddy to come by and save him.
Sure.
He's putting some into place, and he had a plan.
Yep, and that's so important. Is again, it all goes back to the preparedness of your organization and constantly updating that plan, testing that plan, ensuring that it'll work in time of crisis, and having a trained business continuity staff that can handle a crisis instead of just freaking out or fleeing.
Right.
And
yeah,
that's really important. And not just your staff, but you're also your key business continuity professionals, and educating your entire staff on what to do in time of crisis. And those organizational-wide tests are incredibly important, because it allows you to see those flaws and those gaps in your plan to be able to protect it better in a real-time disaster. Yeah. So
So you got the, this is number what, 46?
This is our 46th conference.
The conference, it grows every year. Is there a different movement, or I should say, not movement, but theme per time, or is it kind of reiterating?
Each show does have its own theme. You know, this show is balancing the risks of business continuity, and we try and focus on the wide gamut of business continuity on every show. We try and definitely hit the technical aspect, the IT recovery issues, and we have a lot of vendors that are definitely, you know, geared towards that, and that's one of the big push on the technology side is the offering and the availability to the small and medium businesses now through like cloud computing, virtualization, technologies that are out there that now make it so affordable for the SMB market to prepare and have a very quick recovery time too. Yeah. So
the little guy, you know, I've talked with my ACP presidents from around the country, and I had somebody from Kentuckiana after the tornadoes. The little guys don't think they're that important to have a BC plan.
Unfortunate, because again, there are so many small businesses, myself and DRJ itself included. I mean, we are a very small organization, but again, we feed, you know, 16, 17 families, and you know, if that doesn't, I know it's going to affect me. There are so many small businesses out there, and you know, we make up a very large percentage of the working force. So SMB market is extremely important, and not only important to themselves, but they're also suppliers to larger organization, and that supply chain has become so critical, especially in the Japan earthquake, where the supply chain has quickly realized how quick it could shut down upstream. One little widget isn't supplied to an organization could shut an organization down for who knows how long until the widget can be replaced. So,
and then you get into the insurance world of business interruption, and do they have the right policy coverage to do that? So it's, you know, we're all into the, we're really, you know, people say the insurance world or business continuity. But there are guys out there like yourself, you know, putting on the spring conference. But, you know, there's numerous attendees here. And you talk about that supply. We don't really talk about, you know, Japan got whacked. That disrupted, you know, that shuts down a plant. What, 35, 40 people that make a part of a brake pad that came from Japan. They don't get it.
Right. And supply chain is so critical. And then Japan has, and the Thailand floods and all those, I mean, it has made it very, very evident how important that supply chain has become. So, and that's crucial. And the big key here at the show, what we try and do is try and network. I mean, we really try and network, bring individuals of like mind, and they're all going through the same planning processes. So networking with other like mind individuals that are going through the same planning processes is critical. So we've got a bunch of great vendors and sponsors here at the show, including our sponsor, Senward Now. So I mean, that's our biggest thing is just trying to network. So
let's go to a break. We're going to finish up just a few minutes with Bob.
Disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need answers. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP is the answer. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP is a full-service emergency services and restoration company. With 25 years of experience in emergency management and restoration, our seasoned team of skilled professionals is ready to assess damages and restore your property to its pre-loss condition.
Who do I call first? What about insurance? Is it safe to stay here? What do I do next?
Fire, smoke, water, or mold, ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP restores your property and your peace of mind. To reach ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP anytime, visit them on the web at www.cppems.com. That's cppems.com, cppems.com. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP, servicing the New York Metro and Tri-State area.
At 23, Lance Gieselman's back was broken, leaving him paralyzed from the waist down and his left leg amputated.
I enlisted in the United States Army, went to Iraq in 2003.
Lance's tank was completely destroyed when it was hit by an improvised explosive device.
I was an only survivor.
Paralyzed Veterans of America is an independent organization dedicated to ensuring our injured veterans get all the benefits they've earned and need. Paralyzed Veterans Senior National Service Officer Anthony Steele.
I'm willing to do whatever it takes to serve our veterans.
The PVA, from the very beginning of my injury, has always been there for me. If I was having problems with the VA, they were always there to step in.
Injured veterans like Lance will continue to need medical care and services for the rest of their lives, and Paralyzed Veterans will be there to help. If you would like to help our veterans, visit PVA.org, a public service message from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
I know it's tough to hear me with this firefighter's air pack on, but it's the only way I can be in this smoldering pile of ashes that was my office. And I could get in trouble, but I hope you won't make the same mistake I did, since at least one in four businesses that suffer this type of loss never reopen. So here goes. Just 3 days ago, we sat in this melted wreck of what used to be a conference room, talking about how good things were. Over there was the tech room. The fire's bad enough, but the water damage really gets me. Look, here's an article describing us as visionaries. I should have done our disaster plan, but with everything else, I just didn't see this coming. Visionaries, huh? Well, the good news is, at least the ashes can't burn down.
There'll always be a few fires to put out around the office, unless it's not around anymore. But when you have a disaster plan, you can adapt, recover, and stay in control. Go to ready.gov and make your company's plan. Ready.gov. It's never too late to protect your business until it is. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
And we're back. We're still live down here at the conference down here in Orlando. This is the Disaster Recovery Hour, and I am at the Disaster Recovery Journal Spring Conference, the once a year down in Orlando where business continuity and DR, disaster recovery, come meet different companies, their ideas and their specialties. I talked about that a couple times already with my other guests, but I have a returning guest who's down here, Mike Gifford, who is the chairman and CEO of ACP. I know you know him. He's been on the show a couple of times with Randall Till and Andy Weitzberg. The ACP has been an eye-opener for me since I joined, because I always come from the property side, as you guys know, the emergency services, the fires and the floods and such. Mike, good to have you back.
It's great to be with you again, Chris. Thanks for having me.
Mike's day job, if you will, is a vice president and senior manager for Capital Group Companies Global. It's CGCG out of Texas, and you are the founding president of also the ACP of the Alamo chapter. That's a lot to say, huh?
It's a mouthful.
And that's a hell of a business card you got.
It's on both sides, by the way.
Okay. And is it in shorthand?
Yes.
So, Mike, when coming down, you know, Bob Arnold was on the show earlier. There's lots of buzz. I mean, it's a huge conference, 3,000 attendees and visitors and such. But you coming down, besides promoting the ACP, which is right next door to us, booth-wise, we're talking. You were having a consortium, if you will, and you and I talked about it yesterday. I think a lot of people think it's a disjointed out there in business and business continuity. And I've known, because some of the comments come in saying, "Does the ACP recommend this or recommend that?" And what about my business, so on and so forth. But this is a different your challenge that you came down here to. You're gonna jump right into it, because I'm stumbling at that point. There's a lot with it.
Thanks a lot, Chris. Well, you know, DRJ is recognized one of the best conferences in terms of promoting the business continuity profession. This year happens to be its 46th conference. That says a lot about the Disaster Recovery Journal and what their mission and who they're trying to serve. And recently, one of the things they recognize is not only a need to serve the new practitioner by having more of the senior people teach the courses, but also to create a forum for the seniors to have a discussion of what keeps them up night. And this year we kicked off a brand new seminar, a roundtable discussion that featured the senior practitioners from multiple industries. And then we also had the fortunate to have some C-level from the C-suite join us as well. And it's not only a successful forum for us, but we're going to continue to do that in the future. And I think that's going to meet the needs of all types of business continuity professionals.
It sounds like an all-star team.
It was. It was great.
Some of the things that were on the discussion block?
Well, a couple of things that we were talking about. So, for example, we kicked it off with talking about what were the lessons learned from the Japan tsunami crisis and people that truly can have a global response. And one of the things that really was a big takeaway from that was that we just don't plan at the regional base level, and that if you look across most organizations, they're at a site level rather than a regional. And we need to really take a look at how we're doing planning at the region, because unfortunately we believe that more regional-like events are going to take place.
Yeah, I mean, yesterday I had PC Weather, and you're also with Impact Weather. One of my questions every single week is, you know, the fusion of private and public. And I don't think, and that's the message I try to get out most of the time, is I don't think the public realizes that there's a disconnect there, and that private really, public needs to take on private more heavily.
Well, here at the DRJ, one of the sessions that we just finished was talking about the need to have a stronger public-private partnership, and including our relationship with FEMA and the Department of Homeland Security, and that most communities are truly not ready for such great events. And if you look at total loss by a year, it's just going off of the chart.
Right.
And who knows what it's going to look like 10 years from now.
Yeah, I mean, this is the largest in billions worldwide. America alone, the U.S. itself, got crushed. The largest losses, dollar-wise. You know, you come from the insurance world way back when. State Farm,
with,
right?
Yeah, with State Farm.
Casualty, cat losses and such, like setting up systems. Now, with the roundtable, I know it was monitored by Randall Till, Randall was on my show a couple of weeks ago, about a month ago, I think. Right, Bill? About a month ago? That's right, Bill. He doesn't talk a lot, but what he says is meaningful. But
the silent partner.
He's a silent partner, without a doubt. Moving forward, you said we're going to have this every single year. What are some of the things that people at home, you know, we had Japan, but here at home, where do you see the disconnect?
Well, one of the things that is emerging in terms of, you know, normally a business continuity disaster recovery professional would be worried about natural disasters. And that's typically when you think of disaster recovery, you naturally think of some sort of weather event. And people like Impact Weather have, you know, great services to help understand what that potential threat is. But what has emerged is something that we're calling reputational risk. And the idea that, you know, things that happen at Penn State with British Petroleum,
right.
That all of a sudden is that what happens when an event like a Penn State or Syracuse University occurs, and is senior leadership prepared to respond? And just think about the potential reputational risk damage that could be done if you don't respond properly.
That is, you know, that's amazing. I mean, you and I have been in the business for a long time. You've seen both sides. The IT side of it, the property side of it, me just on the property side, but that's truly that can equate to an insurance loss and a reputation.
Absolutely, and it's something that you probably can't buy a whole lot of insurance coverage for, although that's probably an emerging market. But more so, I think the other thing that we tie together in this roundtable forum is recognizing really the role social media now plays in this. And so between Facebook and Twitter and tweets going out in terms of what's happening there,
right.
It would get away from. So it's the man on the street as the individual supporter.
The Penn State thing, yeah, that I didn't, you know, you and I spoke about that yesterday. It's reputation. I mean, the slandering you see in papers and you know, the pointing of the fingers, because our country's great at pointing fingers, aren't we?
That's right.
No one's really wants to take responsibility for their own actions. When we were talking about, you know, Mike and I were talking about yesterday, as I'm talking to you guys, listeners, you know, the same kind of passion of getting the word out. And again, I'm a very fortunate individual to align myself with ACP and now with Disaster Recovery Journal. It's a growing community. It's funny, the higher you move up, the smaller the community gets. A lot of people know each other. You know, it's boots on the ground, if you will, is the military term they use, right?
Right.
The passion that's moving forward with ACP, we talked about it with a five-year outlook, if you will. Reiterate that.
Well, one of the things that we recognize is that ACP, even though we're a 29-year-old organization, is that we want to be relevant. We want to meet the needs of the members. We're member-driven, but one of the unique aspects of ACP's organizational structure is that we're at the chapter level. And so we're trying to meet the needs of both the chapters, so the local community, as well as now we have people that want to have a virtual chapter. And so to meet the needs of those people that maybe live in Montana that want to be a part of ACP as well. So one of the things that we've put into place now, Chris, as we talked about before, is this five-year direction that we want to go. So we want to do things like we want ACP to be the voice of our industry, and that when an event occurs, that people come to us for our expertise. And together we want to partner with the public partnerships that we want to create as well. So we're excited about where we're going. We just got started. This is year one of our five-year plan, and hopefully people will get on board with us.
Yeah, I'd like to see it, you know, the Better Business Bureau Better Business Bureau, the Small Business Administration. I mean, that's a government service. You go down, you file out, fill out paperwork, but there's a bevy of information with guys in our organization. I'd like to see it, you know, ACP is, you know, just on the bottom of everyone's business card, ACP, because, I mean, it's almost like Angie's List. If you're, you know what?
That's right.
It's not just, you know, just out of membership dues. I mean, you got to have some, credible, some street creds to be part of this organization.
Yeah. And going back to one of the programs that we saw this morning, between FEMA, they're getting ready to announce a program called Community Resilient. And I think that's an opportunity for ACP also to support it, because one of the roles we play is we're kind of that local instructor. So if somebody wants to understand what business continuity is all about, or they want a DR plan, or they want to know how to protect their business, they can come to us for that help and guidance.
Yeah. Mike, I know you're busy. You had to change real quick, get in your Superman outfit. I saw. Thanks for taking the time. Always a pleasure. Mike Gifford is the president, chairman, CEO of ACP International. 44 chapters now?
44 chapters, that's
44
right.
44 chapters, and we're growing. I speak about it often on the program. I know, you know, it's a fine line. I got to bring in the personal lines and the business. But the show has been the momentum with the show is definitely attributed with my association with the ACP, and I appreciate your time, and the rest of the presidents have come on. Thank you.
Well, and I appreciate both your sponsorship and support, Chris. Anything we can do to do it in return, because we certainly believe in the mission that you're trying to do in terms of promoting business continuity, disaster recovery, and emergency management in our community. So thanks a lot, and keep up the good work.
Thanks, Mike. Take care.
Okay.
Thanks, bro.
If you missed part of today's program or you want to hear the show again, you can do so with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast. Just go to www.drhradio.net, enter your email address, and the show will be delivered to your inbox. Keep you and your family safe by getting information on being prepared with the Disaster Recovery Hour podcast, available at drhradio.net. When disaster comes into your life and attacks your property, you need action fast. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP will find the visible and hidden damage caused by a fire or flood. With quick response and correctly applied damage mitigation protocols, ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP can save you valuable time and money and get you back in the game of life. Anytime disaster strikes, quick, focused action is what can save your property. CPP's professional staff is on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. To reach ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP anytime, visit them on the web at www.cppems.com. That's cppems.com, cppems.com. ServiceMaster Restoration by CPP, servicing the New York metro and tri-state area.
A quarterback, a class clown, a natural leader. For those who died in the Vietnam War, the greatest tribute is to see them not just as names on the wall, but as the people they were. The Education Center at the Wall will put faces to the names. It will preserve photos, letters, and mementos of veterans, so their stories and sacrifice will never be forgotten. Visit buildthecenter.org and help us build it.
A message from the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund.
Still continuing with the DRJ Spring Conference down here in Orlando. This is Disaster Recovery Hour every Tuesday between 1 and 2 p.m. WVNJ 1160 The Voice. Continuing the plethora of experts, and I grabbed another one off the floor. Kelly Begg.
That's correct.
That's correct. Kelly, give me your title at SunGuard.
Sure. I'm the Director of Product Marketing for our Recovery Services Suite at SunGuard Availability Services.
SunGuard being a business continuity encapsulates everything that goes with that, including DR, correct?
Absolutely right.
You're a monster in the field. Brother John was saying you got to reach out for these people. I saw the truck out in the parking lot, which I saw last year at the Long Island ACP show. And me being on the disaster recovery of floods and fires and things like that, you're just an arm's length away from me being involved in that because your truck is deployed to the hot zone.
Yes, excellent. Thank you. We're very proud of our new truck. It's one of our newest models. It's our recovery unit. It rolls on site anywhere in North America within 48 hours.
How many of you have?
We actually have a large fleet. This particular unit seats up to 50 people, and we have up to 350 people. We have a unit which plugs together and gives you up to 5,000 square feet of contiguous workspace.
Is it driven, or do you actually airlift it sometimes?
We drive it. Okay. We drive it. We have a fleet of trucks as well, and the trucks pull it into your parking lot. We work with you to figure out, you know, do we hook it up to a hitching post, or do we use a satellite connection? We can do both, and it is a self-contained unit as well. It has on board a diesel generator, so we can be completely self-sufficient through any kind of disaster event.
Now, the insurance carriers, or is it state workers? Who's your big client?
So we have a lot of different kinds of businesses who use us. You know, we have any organization that has a call center or a group of people who need to stay functional through a disaster. Mm-hmm. We can also set it up as a bank branch or even a pharmacy, a dispensary. So, you know, there's a lot of flexibility in terms of how that floor space can be utilized.
Well, you know, we had Irene for up north where I'm from. Obviously, everybody knows about Katrina. I did the four hurricanes the year before Katrina in Florida, and you saw the smaller versions of this truck, probably SunGuards. And I know a lot of insurance carriers used it when I worked downtown in 9/11. They use them for their claim centers.
Exactly.
I mean, you guys are the forefront with this machine.
Thank you. Yeah, we're very excited about it. We're also, we actually this afternoon have a speaker that's coming in at 2 o'clock to talk about the hurricane season 2012. So we're going to get a forecast on what to expect and how to prepare for that. And certainly any kind of hurricane or weather preparedness is a big part of our business as well.
Right. Now, who's that? Impact Weather is going to be?
We have Impact Weather today, yeah. We have Chris Haber.
Okay.
Yeah,
he's
their lead hurricane forecaster.
He is?
Yes.
You know what? I didn't have the lead guy from Impact Weather.
Ah, see?
I had a different guy.
Yeah.
But the other guy I had was very cool anyway.
Yeah, they're all very cool.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you can see I'm kind of on a jovial. It's kind of, you know, it's kind of cool. I get all jacked up about this kind of stuff.
It's really informational. I sat through this morning session, and I learned a lot, actually, about how hurricanes are not so predictable as we like to think.
Right. I had a person on earlier in the program, and they do a little bit of what Impact does, but more for the end user. Impact is more of a encapsulates everything. The other person was Frank has software basically, but a very good interview and informative because I loved you know, I'm not a storm chaser like a lot of guys in the industry, but you know, to have the knowledge of the zeros, if you will, the ground zeros of those types of that information. And we have Allison Brooker, who is there. Allison, what's your title?
She is our manager of social media.
And she is filming now. Allison, can you get me, I don't know if this is a conflict that you need to get higher ups, can you get me a virtual walkthrough on the truck that I can put on my website?
We actually can do that. In fact, we had a film crew in there yesterday.
Okay.
We took a video, and we're going to be having that up in the next couple of weeks. So we're happy to do that. And in fact, we have a whole mobile road show that is going on right now. The road show is going to hit New Orleans, Houston, Austin, and Dallas. We have information on our website about that, and people can go register, and they can see the video up there as well once we get that posted.
That's cool. We like to, on the DRH Radio website, we'll put up numerous clips of a disaster zone or
fantastic.
A
prepper. So we can get that to you also.
Yeah.
Oh, so, fantastic.
Is this the main product? Tell me some of the other products SunGuard has.
Yeah, sure. So first of all, the mobile unit is just one of a suite of workforce recovery different offerings we have. In addition to the mobile, we have a fixed site facility. So you can have seats in a fixed site that's located closer to you, as well as having the mobile unit roll up to your parking lot. And in our recovery services suite, we have cloud-based recovery, and we also have a managed recovery program service for data center recovery. And these are fully managed solutions so that we can handle all of the parts of getting your data center back up and operational.
Now, do you do? Is it a quick tutorial to the people that you're renting them out to? It's a rent or a lease, if you will. But how long does that take? And do people get overwhelmed?
No, I mean, we will do as much or as little as people want. So we do have some customers who, when we roll up, they want to take over management of the facility itself.
Right.
Others say, no, we want you to stay on site with us and manage it for us. So it just really depends on what individuals want.
Right. So obviously, this is a big unit. It's not something that you just call them and say, listen, can I get you one? This is part of their disaster recovery plan.
Correct. It needs to be part of the plan. And what people have found out is often they've thought about and provisioned for their data center, but they haven't thought about, what about our workers? You know, what is going to happen to our business if our workers can't be functional?
Right.
And what are we doing to provide something which is friendly for them, allows them to stay in the area? Because most times during a disaster, people don't want to leave their families. They don't want to leave their environment. They want to stay there, you know, so that they can be close to home, but then still do their work.
Right.
And so that's what we do.
You know, one of the things that, you know, the psychological aspect of a disaster or a hot zone when these hurricanes happen, and God forbid another terrorist attack, but, you know, people need a sense of normalcy. And, you know, I'm making an assumption here, but I think it's a good assumption that if someone can go to work, okay, their house is devastated, the family, it's been sprinkled all over the place like sticks in the wind. But if they have your command center and they can have some sense of normalcy, it's got to be psychologically a big boost.
Absolutely. You know, another thing we do, too, is inside the site, inside the facility, we have a direct TV connection so that you can stay in touch with what's happening. If it's an ongoing weather event or it's an ongoing type of situation, you're going to want to know, where are the open gas stations, or where, you know, are the grocery stores that are open, so that, you know, you can take care of things like that in addition to taking care of your business. So that's something we provide as part of the service as well.
The faster we move with technology, the scarier it is when something goes down, because it's going to affect everybody. And, I think about the GPS in everybody's car. You know, no one knows how to read a map anymore.
That's right.
I got a brother-in-law who's got a nice-size trucking business up in New Jersey and New York. This guy still reads a map.
Yeah.
So, but in lieu of that, you know, your on-the-scene command center, if you will pick up the slack.
Yes. Yeah, and you're right, too. Organizations are more and more so dependent on computer automation. So being able to continue those systems is a first step. Being able to reconnect your workers and continue their productivity is another necessary step. You know, you can't, your computer's running isn't going to do your business. You actually have to have your people able to connect to them.
So, it must be exciting to get up for work every day. I mean, this is a tangible kick the tires thing. You know, in the world of business continuity, and also in my world, you know, people are waiting for something to happen. So they're a little hesitant on having a plan. I shouldn't say hesitant. It's kind of put on the back burner because it's not in their face.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
But I think more organizations are realizing we had a lot of more regional activity over the last 12 months. There's been a lot of events, disasters that have occurred, which have impacted people. And I think it's made it more tangible, more real.
Mm-hmm.
And they realize the importance of getting through and doing the disaster recovery planning. Another nice thing about the mobile unit is that it will support your test as well as your actual recovery. So most organizations need to think about doing at least an annual test where they walk through what are all the steps in our recovery process, make sure they know what's going to happen so that they know that those processes and procedures that they have identified are actually going to work as expected. And being able to do that with the mobile unit is also very helpful because that gives your employees a chance to see what that's going to work like and how that's going to help them in real life.
I mean, they're part of the product selling.
Absolutely.
Having the knowledge there, yeah.
It's part of the total solution, frankly.
Yeah.
If you haven't provisioned all the way out to including your workers, you really haven't done a sufficient job of really planning what to do to continue your business.
Are there any conversions into medical units?
I'm sorry, what?
Can you convert these into medical stations?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a very flexible floor space. So most of the time they're set up for workstations, and each workstation comes equipped with a dual-core HP system and also an Avaya telephone. And they're all printer-enabled. But we also can set them up into bank branches or into, you know, dispensaries for pharmacies. Mm-hmm. So it's a very flexible floor space, and we'll work with any organization to plan that out, determine what's needed, and then make sure that when that unit rolls, it rolls with the configuration that that organization needs.
Yeah. Kelly Baig?
Yes.
Thank you very much. I grabbed
you
off the floor.
My pleasure.
You know,
I hope everyone gets out
Allison,
to see the unit.
Brooker putting, this is going to be on YouTube. I'm not going to be happy. Put like a fake hat on my head or something.
Allison's the best, so we'll do a lot with it. Thank you so much.
Yeah, no, it was a pleasure.
A pleasure, Chris.
SunGuard, good luck with that.
Thank you.
I mean, you guys are a big player in the field, so it's I'm not, you know, little old me doesn't need my luck, but
well,
anyway.
Thanks for dragging us over. Really, really appreciate it. It's been fun.
I want to get some traction. Chris. It's a cool thing, and you know what? A lot of people don't realize that it's the public and private sector are getting together, and this is obviously these units are not. These are not like FEMA trailers where there's thousands of them sitting in the middle of nowhere. These are functional, usable tools.
Absolutely.
Thanks,
right.
Kel.
Thank you.
Take
thanks
care of
so
yourself.
Much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. What? Yeah, he tells me I got 2 minutes. Believe this, Kelly? Anyway, so we're kind of flying off the seat of my pants. Kelly's still hanging out. We got Allison here, and Bill's all grumpy at me this morning.
Well, let me say a little bit more about some of the other things we do at SunGuard, if you don't mind. So I mentioned we have a cloud-based recovery.
Okay.
Our line is called Recover to Cloud, and we have all different ways of moving data to the cloud so that when disaster impacts your systems, we can immediately bring them up. And SunGuard's unique in providing service-level guarantees as part of our recovery. So we have them at the 4-hour level, at the 24-hour level as well. So depending on what you need, you can contract with us to make sure that your systems are recovered and operational within the time frames that you need.
And we didn't discuss that, now we just did.
Yeah, we did.
This is Disaster Recovery Hour every Tuesday. I think we're signing off unless Bill gives me another shot in the arm. I am having fun with the show, the whole show today. I have fun with the show all the time. But as you can see, I'm a pretty easygoing guy. Every day Tuesday between 1 and 2 o'clock, WVNJ, 1160 The Voice, Disaster Recovery Hour. DRHradio.net is our website. SunGuard, Allison's going to get me that clip in a couple weeks, I guess, right now? All right. And you can see what the mobile center looks like. And I think we're ringing off because we got to shoot this show somewhere else. All right, roger that. And good luck. Bring home, end our troop, end the war. Bring home our troops, and God bless our country.
Yeah,
take care.
God bless.